Good morning again. It's good to be back here with you. I bring greetings to Church of the Redeemer from Mrs. Laura Meeks. I was up in Ohio with some of the families from Church of the Redeemer celebrating Laura and Matt's marriage. That's formerly Laura Swartz. And it was a beautiful time of redemption and celebration. And so glad to be able to do that and very thankful to Bob for bringing the word and leading last Sunday. Do want to encourage you, and I'm sorry, you're probably sick and tired of hearing this. I want to encourage you to be consistent with wearing your masks afterwards and outside, especially as we see these spikes and hear news of new virulent. I should have practiced that. New strains of the virus that are much more infectious that are coming out in Europe. And so please be conscious with that. We understand that people are being especially careful with Christmas coming up and quarantining even more with the hopes of being with family. And so if you are home on the live stream this morning, we are glad that you are joining us. And we understand that people are being very, 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 very careful. With that, we have two Christmas Eve services this Christmas Eve at 5 and 7 p.m., those are beginning to fill up, so I want to encourage you to sign up for those. I love our Christmas Eve service. It's a very special time, and we decided that we would try having two services because we have limited seating and we need two services. So I want to encourage you to do that and be prepared to greet many of our neighbors and many of the neighbors of people of Church of the Redeemer who come to that service also. Okay, if you would turn in your worship guide or in your Bible to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to finish up our time in Daniel chapter 6 this today. This is maybe the first time you've ever heard Daniel as an Advent series or a Christmas series. But there's so much in this passage that is very relevant and connects with the season of Christmas. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Before we do that, I wanted to kind of give you a bit of an opening kind of illustration. In Dunwoody, and I live in Dunwoody, during this time in 2020, many people began putting these signs in their yards. And it was a replication of a piece of artwork that's at the art studio next to Walmart on Ashford Dunwoody. It's a big white sign with plain black letters that says, "Everything's going to be okay." So the art center began selling those, and people began putting them in their yards until there was a bit of a dispute with the artist about copyright and about profits and about licensorship. That got resolved, and then it continued. I know of a young teenage boy who got in trouble when his parents discovered that he had been stealing these yard signs late at night from people's yards. And as they were chastising him, his response was, "These signs are lies. They're a bunch of," fill in the word, "everything's not going to be okay. Everything hasn't been okay, and these signs drive me crazy." Obviously, not a valid justification for the theft of yard signs. But I understand the point. The book of Daniel, and especially Daniel chapter 6, the most famous story of Daniel in the lion's den, is typically a story that we are told and we enter into it and can message it. Everything's going to be okay. God's going to rescue. Everything works out fine if you're faithful like Daniel. Or everything worked out fine because Daniel was faithful. But we know, if we've lived long enough, that everything isn't okay. And we know from our lives, with the things that we still struggle with, that everything hasn't turned out okay. That's why I wanted to spend 3 weeks on Daniel during Advent. Because Daniel and God's Word doesn't proclaim the gospel of everything's going to be okay. It has a very different message. And it's a message that the Church of Jesus Christ that bears His name in the West has largely abandoned to preach and proclaim the message that everything is going to be okay. We can make it okay for you. But what we see consistently in Daniel is not the message that everything is going to be okay, but a very different message. And this is important because that message of everything's going to be okay can lead us into a dangerous self-reliance or a practical atheism. And we see this in our country as more and more people who claim or self-identify as Christians no longer actually believe or actually practice what the Bible teaches. And that can be because this message of everything is going to be okay, for those who go to church internally, they know the truth. Everything's not okay. Everything's not okay with me, or my work, or my family, or my marriage, or my health. And so what they do is they go through the motions of Christianity, but they no longer believe. Or it can lead us into a dangerous self-reliance, where we look to ourselves that we've got to make everything okay. We can make everything okay if we do the right thing. So let's read Daniel chapter 6. For the sake of time, we are going to break in at verse 14. You probably know the story. King Darius has been tricked into making a law that is designed specifically so that Daniel will be punished. Because Daniel has been exalted as a leader. He's not engaging in corruption. And so therefore he's making all the other leaders look bad. And Daniel's about to be appointed to oversee the whole of the kingdom, financially and business-wise and tax-wise. And that spells trouble for those who are making money through corruption. And so they trick King Darius into passing a law that they know will get Daniel sentenced to death. Verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words about Daniel praying faithfully to God, worshiping God, and therefore disobeying the law, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Now know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persian that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came near to the den where Daniel was. He cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad, and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us in your word? For what we need is you. So may you meet us, whether we are in despair, whether we are kind of more going through the motions of Christianity than actually close to you, whether we are hurt, angry, numb, skeptical, or distant. Lord, what we need this morning is not a nice worship service. What we need is you. So would you do whatever it takes so that as we come to receive the Lord's Supper, as we stand and sing of our hope and our comfort, as we receive the benediction, and as we leave this place, that we would do that as those who have met with the true and the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Three brief things this morning, and we're going to have to try and be brief as we look at this text. Three words: judgment, darkness, and suffering. How about that for a cheery sounding sermon, okay? Judgment, darkness, and suffering. As we connect Daniel chapter 6 to the Christmas story and to the gospel, judgment, darkness, and suffering. First of all, judgment. This is a passage about God's judgment. Now you might say, well, hang on a second, Pastor. This is a message. This is a story about rescue. What do you mean it's a story about judgment? Well, look back at verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, that is that Daniel has broken the law, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. And then these men came, that's the conspirators, by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Daniel's going into the lion's den as judgment for breaking a law that cannot be changed. The lion's den is Daniel's judgment. And Daniel broke the law. And this was the punishment that was stated. It's a passage about judgment. Lions are in this passage. As we saw in our liturgy, and if you look at Scripture, a lion, the Lion of God, the Lion of Judah, when it appears in the Bible, is all about judgment. The lion roars. You know, if a lion shows up here, you know, especially if it's not a baby lion, you know, we're not all going to be running towards the lion for a hug. You know, we're going to be running out. The lion in the Bible is an image and a promise of God's judgment. This passage is about God declaring one person innocent of judgment, and then in this passage declaring other people guilty. It's about God's judgment. And Daniel's name literally means God is my judge. I don't think I've referenced that so far in the book of Daniel. This is a passage here in Daniel 6 about judgment. What saves Daniel from judgment is God. Yes, God saves Daniel because of his faithfulness. But Daniel's faithfulness is not what saved himself. In fact, his faithfulness got him into this predicament. Here we see that it is God who saves us from judgment. And that's good news. Because sin and the guilt and the shame that come with it, living under God's judgment, is humanity's biggest problem. It's our biggest problem. And the good news is, in the gospel, God proclaims that He saves us from judgment. And that is good news because you know what? We cannot run from the shame and the guilt that we bear because we have sinned against God. We can't run from it. We can't hide from it. Humanity has tried and tried and tried. You can't run from the weight of the sin and the guilt you struggle under because of God's judgment for our sin. And the more we try, the more psychological and spiritual damage we do to ourselves. In our country and in our world and in our state, we get a lot of problems. A lot of problems. But humanity and our biggest problem is our sin and the guilt and the shame that comes from that because we live under God's judgment. Maybe you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, but you're living under the weight of your guilt and your sin because you're not okay with God. There's no way for us to escape that. The only thing that can relieve the weight of guilt and shame is God Himself taking it away in and through our repentance and throwing ourselves at His feet asking for grace and mercy. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus Christ this morning. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you're in the same boat as we are. The only thing that can take away your guilt and your shame, the weight of your sin and God's judgment, is trusting in Jesus Christ. It is going to Him for forgiveness and relief. And this is ultimately what Christmas is about. God came into this world to restore us to Himself. Jesus took on flesh and walked on this earth in order to restore us to God. And in order to do that, He had to die. To take away God's judgment, to pay for God's judgment. We live under the weight of God's judgment, and the good news is only Jesus can take it away. Well, it's bad news because we can't do it ourselves. But it's good news. And so trust in Him. Don't trust in yourself. Don't look to yourself in order to be able to deal with or appease God. Look to Jesus Christ. Hope in Him. Secondly, darkness. I look back at verse 16. The king commanded. Daniel's thrown into the pit. And then what happens? The king goes back to his palace and he's upset and disturbed all night. Look, verse 18. The king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him and sleep fled from him. Verse 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. The story really is told beautifully. Which is kind of, I always feel a little bit stupid or ironic for saying because God wrote it. And when it comes to writing stories, there's no one better than God because He's kind of God, okay? But the drama in this story, the repetition of words and the building of suspense, I mean, it's beautiful and it's powerful. And the bulk of the crisis of the story takes place in darkness at night. Daniel's in probably a cave-like structure with a hole in the roof, because you don't kind of open the gate to the den of hungry lions, okay? You know, you want to be in a safe distance. And there's probably no one going in to change the oil in those lamps, right? And so Daniel's in darkness, in a lion's den, all night. Here's a question for us. I've asked this question myself. Okay, God knows he's going to rescue that Daniel, okay? God's not sitting there thinking, will I, won't I, what am I going to do here? God knows, and he's known from the beginning of time, that he's going to rescue Daniel from the lion's den. Daniel doesn't know. Daniel's praying. Daniel's hoping. Daniel's ready to die if God doesn't rescue him, because he trusts in God. But if you were God and you were going to rescue Daniel from this lion's den, how would you do it? Say it's Monday morning, you're God, and you're like, okay, what's going on this week? Okay, Persia. Oh, Daniel at 5 o'clock on Thursday, if I don't do anything else, is going to get thrown into the den of lions. I'm going to save him. How do I do that? What plan would you come up with? How would you do it? I would probably send my angel, and I think it's Jesus. I think it's the pre-incarnate Christ. I'm not going to make a big point of that, but I would send my angel to send Jesus, and I'd be like, as they throw him in, Jesus is going to come up with Daniel in his hands and hold him up, and I'm with a flick of his sword, he's going to behead all those deceiving guys. Okay? We'll skip the people who weren't part of that, but this magic sword will behead all of them and their families. And I will speak the word of God. That would be a pretty good plan, right? It would be efficient. It would get the message across. It would be direct. What does God do? God probably does the one thing that none of us would consider to be a smart or efficient or a good plan. God, God enters into the darkness. God comes with no fanfare into the dangerous place, into the lion's den. And he closes the lion's mouths. He is with Daniel. God enters into the darkness. And this is always the way. Someone asked me, I was having a dialogue with someone recently, and they said, hey, you think things are going to get better with COVID-19 and 2020? You think things are going to get worse? What do you think is going to happen? And I shared with them that I really thought there was a very critical dynamic and moment and potential conflict that might happen, and that all depended, how things were going to go, all depended upon this important question. And that was, could we get enough people vaccinated before Netflix ran out of new shows for us to watch? Because if we didn't, it was all over. Riots in the streets, things would, all the fabric of society would fall apart. Now, obviously, I was kind of joking. But here's the question for us. There's a lot of darkness in the world. There's a lot of darkness in our own lives and hearts and minds. How are we coping with the darkness? Because the world will give us lots of things to try and numb or escape the darkness. Like Netflix. Like busyness. Like overindulging. Like work. Like exercise. Like family. But the Christian message is that God enters into the darkness. He Himself. On Christmas Eve every year, I read the same passage from John chapter 1 and proclaim that the true light, which gives light to everyone, which is coming into the world, the light shines in darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Everything is not going to be okay until heaven. Everything is not going to be okay until God comes and judges the world and restores everything. Until then, there's going to be sickness, disappointment, loneliness, unfulfilled hopes, dreams, and ambitions. And that's important for us to be reminded that that's part of the gospel message. Despite what so many people claim and proclaim as the message of Christianity, is we don't have the formula where everything is going to be okay. And if you're a young person, it's really important that you understand this. Christianity is not proclaiming a message to say, hey, you do X, Y, and Z, and everything will be okay for you in this world. The message of Christianity and the gospel is, God will meet you in the darkness, in the disappointment, in the betrayals. And that is good news. This world is a lonely place. But God has entered into that darkness in Jesus Christ. So go to Him. As much as we lament and as much as we can and should pray, God, fix this. Help me resolve this. It's good to pray those things. I've said this a lot this Advent. We also got to pray, God, would you meet me in this darkness? Because what I need is you. I need Jesus with me. Jesus in me. Jesus to help me, to hold me, and to sustain me in this darkness. Christmas is not going to be perfect. It's going to be tough. For a lot of us, disappointing. Some grief, some lament, sadness, isolation. But the message of Christmas is that Jesus has entered into the darkness. May you find Him. May He find you. Lastly, suffering. I'll be very brief with this. This is a passage about suffering. Now it ends with proclamations. When we look at what Darius says, we don't have time to read it again. It's amazing. Darius, at the end of this, is telling the world, and he's overseeing, maybe for Cyrus, significant part of the world at this point. And he's sending a message out that the God of the Bible is true. He's alive. He's to be worshipped. He's real. He saves. And that's like home run, right? I mean, good night. This is good news. But look at the last verse of the passage. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel and God's people are still in exile. Darius doesn't say, oh my gosh, your God is real. You all get to go home. You all get to go back to your families and your lands in Jerusalem. Leave, go. Cyrus will do that later on. But Daniel spends probably 70 years in exile. We have no record of Daniel going back. He was a young man. Maybe he dies in exile. And we see this again and again in the book of Daniel, the reminder that God does these great things, but Daniel's still in exile. God promotes Daniel and rescues him, but he still has to serve in exile. And this whole passage is about Daniel suffering, facing certain death. Our witness in this world, and this passage is about our witness, God's witness of His goodness and His sovereignty and His holiness in this world. Our witness in this world is wrapped up so much in our suffering. I think we serve God and witness for the gospel more through our suffering and how we suffer than anything else. Now look back with me, because I think this is kind of humorous. Look back with me at verse 21. It's at the top of the second page. How should Christians suffer? How do we witness for God in suffering? What does Daniel say to the king who's had him thrown in a lion's den? The king who could have changed the law of the Medes and the Persians, but it would have been at great cost to himself. So it wasn't that he couldn't change it. The cost was going to be too big. What does Daniel say in the morning after a night in the lion's den when the king comes back, all terrified? Daniel, you're alive. Daniel said, O king, live forever. Would not have been my first words to that king. You'd be like, I got something to say to you. This is what it looks like for us to suffer. To love and to suffer for the sake of the gospel. It's to forgive. It's to forgive the world for hating us. It's impossible to love anyone without forgiveness. And what it means for us in this world to suffer is that we forgive the world. We forgive it for rejecting us, for making us suffer. And we do that as those who've been forgiven by God. As those who have been forgiven by God. For I am the biggest sinner that I will ever know. And you are the biggest sinner that you will ever know. Because we are the only ones who know our own hearts and thoughts and minds and intentions. And Jesus Christ has forgiven me and forgiven you. So may you celebrate this Christmas that you have been forgiven. That you have been forgiven. May we receive that now as we come to the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us and minister your grace to us? Would you spiritually feed us the body and the blood of Jesus, our forgiveness, our hope? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.